Okay, we begin our journey, as we were talking yesterday, and that this is basically the theme for sure of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and really of life, of our existence on this planet, and that is the main purpose, thank you, Abzev, of the planet, of being here on planet Earth, is to distract us from ourselves. That's the main purpose of everything that goes on in this world. Tashas choshech v'hi laila. This planet is compared to Olam Hazeh, doima la'laila. It's compared to darkness. Darkness means I can't see the light. I can't see, as we started saying, L'David Hashem Oiri. Oiri, which we'll talk about, Zu Rosh Hashanah, because light is clarity. Light means, Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha means, I have clarity. I have clarity of my life's purpose. I have clarity of who I am. I live in a world, and I just want to mention something very important, is that it's not the pshat that you will get, that you get clarity of who you are, and then you're done. A person constantly wants to be reinventing himself. A person constantly wants to be discovering and rediscovering who one is. It's not the pshat you get to a certain age and you get to a certain place in your life and then you are done. You more or less, of course, a person in life begins as a child. You have certain das, your ability to think. As you're now here in this stage in your life, this is really where a person becomes independent, where a person hopefully works towards independence, which is what's very challenging. Binyamin Brumer is in the house. Welcome. Okay, now I feel I could say, now I feel Binyamin keeps me in check, so now I feel more comfortable to just say whatever I have to say, and knowing that Binyamin's here, I know he'll keep me on track, Baruch Hashem. When a child goes through different things, when a person goes through life, so you don't begin to really separate yourself from everybody else and separate yourself from your feelings, from your thoughts. The more mature and the more independent a person becomes, the more a person is able to carry and to live in their own world. You're not living for someone else yet. You're first living for yourself and learning to really discover yourself, which, like I said, is really the journey of life. It's one of the reasons we got to figure out a way. It could be the first. We must learn a halacha. So remind me today, even if it's a quick halacha, the reason purity of speech is so powerful, the reason Hilchos Lashon Hara is so powerful, is because, first of all, it's one of the worst things in the world to do is to speak about somebody else. To judge negatively might be a natural thing, like we said. Sorry? Right, okay. Got it, Menachem. We're doing it right now. Beautiful. We'll start with the first halacha. Thank you, Menachem. The mitzvah of judging others favorably safeguards. This is day two. I don't know why I skipped day one, but we'll do it. Day two, impurity of speech. The mitzvah of judging others favorably safeguards a person from speaking negatively about others. It first begins in your brain, and of course, as we've said many times, it begins with your negativity within yourself about yourself. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, love your neighbor like you love yourself, love your friend like you love yourself. You hate your friend, you hate yourself. That's the way it goes. According to the degree of the hatred, and anyone who's familiar with IFS and works in the modality of IFS knows that there are different parts that we have to us. So the part that you hate of that person is very much identical to the part within yourself that you might loathe and hate as well. And what Hashem does is He shows that hatred that you might have within yourself of yourself in that person. It's called, in psychology, lahavdil, it's called projection. It's projection, which means I have a part of me that I hate. I have a child in me that I'm ashamed of. I have a part of me that I'm ashamed of that I hate. So that manifests itself in how I look at other people. And I look at people as parts. The Mir Tzachem, when we have Simcha Rabbi here speaking, he could go a little bit more into explaining how that works. But basically, anyone who's a little bit familiar and has done IFS understands more what I'm saying. And that is that when you judge someone, don't think it's the person. As I've said many times, when you point your finger at somebody, you have three fingers pointing at you. That's not a musser shot. It's not musser. Like, oh, you see the negative in him, oh, you're really worse than it. That's not the pshat. It's much deeper than that. It means that it comes from you. The tzaddikim always said, when you make yourself whole and you forgive yourself, when you love yourself, you then overflow and you begin to love others. That's why when you're having a bad day, suddenly everyone around you bothers you. When you're in a bad mood, so then everyone around you bothers you. When you're happy with yourself, you're able to make room for other people, just like you're able to make room for yourself. Yes, Arye.
So you're saying you should judge people favorably, right? You also have to be careful with that in the sense of you could think first and then say, oh, I think this pizza place is the best, but that in itself is not a great thing to say because...
Okay, yeah, you're already getting into the depth of halacha to say, to be careful with other people or within yourself to say something's great or better or that, correct. In general, a person wants to be careful. We'll get into that, Aryeh. Thank you. That it's of course, you know, one of the halachas is that it's very dangerous to say in front of somebody else how great someone is or to compare and say, I love this. This pizza shop is the best pizza shop. Now, okay, we'll get into that. You could say, I love this pizza very much, but it's not that's not the forum for now. Thank you, Menachem. Thank you, Aryeh. Thank you so much. Now, we learned a halacha. It's important, the hilchos of judging the following categories. They're tzaddikim, beinim, rishayim, which rishayim nowadays, more or less, it's difficult to identify a rasha. Most people, I'm not talking about rishayim as in Hamas, and people who want to kill the Jewish people, those are clear Rishayim. It's very difficult to categorize now a Jew as a Rasha because of a concept called Tinok Shenishba, not the form for now, but Tinok Shenishba actually means a child that was taken hostage and taken kidnapped and by the Goyim, by the Gentiles, and therefore he grew up and he doesn't know the difference. So the Chazon Ish said many, many years ago, nowadays, Chazon Ish said that, nowadays most people are in the category, he wrote it, thank you Rabbi Lazarus, he wrote it in Hilchos Shechita, that people nowadays who are not observant, who you might say, oh, he's a Machal Shabbos, he's a this, he's a that, so he is in the category of a Rasha, it's not true, he's in the category of someone who just doesn't know any better, it's not for us. In general, it's not for us unless you work for the government or the Knesset, or you are actually involved in politics, which nobody here is. For us here, we're all tzaddikim. Everybody here is the bechinas of a tzaddik. The fact that you're in yeshiva and you're growing and you're here, so we'll consider everybody here tzaddikim. That we have to judge favorably. Even a beinoni, you have to judge favorably. So we all enter the category. Now, what's the catch? The catch is it's difficult to judge. Right? The old line that I've said many times, right? Be positive, be positive, be positive is a very negative statement to say to yourself. Be positive, be positive, be positive. Sometimes saying it's okay that I'm negative, that in itself is a positive way of dealing with negativity. So when you go into the dining room or you go into the Beis Medrash and suddenly you see someone and you judge them, that would be called you are a human and you're quote-unquote normal, and it's normal to judge people, to judge negatively. Our our ratzon, our desire is to learn to see the good. That's our desire. And again, I'll end off with this, and then we'll continue. Thank you, Menachem, because we just learned the halacha that, of course, like we said yesterday, that 80% of our thoughts, if someone wants to look it up to confirm, even though we don't need it, but anyone who wasn't in the shir before who never heard this, 80% of our thoughts are negative. Human beings, they're negative. We need to go against the grain to learn, and I underline that word, learn how to be positive. We have to learn, whether it's through affirmations, whether it's through healing, which is really most where it comes from. Again, IFS is not the only way. There are many other ways for a person to heal. But when you heal that part of you that is angry, that is, because like we said yesterday, anger is always a cover-up for hurt. Not in a bad way. Just anger means you're hurt. That's what it means. The way you're dealing with your hurt is with your anger. So if you're an angry guy, right, like we said yesterday, anger and sadness. Anger is sadness turned out. Some people, it's good for them to be sad and not to be angry. Some people are sad inside, and it would be good for them to actually get angry. Some people are angry outside, and it would be good for them to actually be a little bit sad. Why? Because you're able to feel whatever it is that you need to feel. Okay, today's, yes, sure.
It's a theoretical question.
Great. Okay, let's hear. Good. Shua knows me.
Rabbi said with IFS that
right.
You see someone, it's really inside of yourself.
Right.
So let's say I see a guy who's angry.
Right.
Angry inside of myself, and I went and I healed myself.
Right.
And I figured that out. Now what? Am I five, like, go over to the guy and talk to him and be like, I saw this part of you in me together, and like, I healed, and here's some practical advice?
Well, so first of all, that's a great. Chaim seems excited to chime in over here.
It's not all or nothing. You still could be angry if you're healed.
No, of course.
You're saying like things come up.
I'm sorry. You're
once you're healed, you just heal. You know, like,
no one's ever healed. Or
no, so like work on it. Like you're in a mood or whatever, and it happens.
Correct.
You can just look into that with yourself. It doesn't happen.
But am I now meant to go over to the guy and speak to him? Be like, hey, I understand whatever. I'm coming from a loving place. And I've been working on this. And I see, like, maybe it's an area you struggle with. And here's some practical advice of how I work through it.
It's not about him. It's about you.
Correct. And maybe you could share your story.
I mean, I just want to say, I don't, just to answer on a practical thing, there's nothing wrong if you care about somebody and you yourself have been through certain things and you have learned to heal some of that, to just share with that person that I notice that you get uptight about this. I notice that you get angry about this. I notice that you get anxious about this. I notice that you're struggling with this. Do you mind if I, yeah, I mean, you don't want to go over to a stranger and someone that might be a little bit strange, but you go over to someone who you care about and you say, I see you're struggling with something. I myself struggled with the same thing. Do you mind if I you know, lend a hand and we talk it out? It'll be good for you, good for them. It never, to have good intentions to help someone, to be there for someone is always a beautiful thing. So, yeah, why not? Hey, right, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong if you yourself know what you've been through and how you could, help someone. So, of course, it's always good to reach out and lend a hand. But like Chaim's saying, of course, yeah, that. You know, sometimes it's helpful to connect to someone. Sometimes it's helpful to discuss it and talk it out. It takes you out of your own head and it makes you share. Sharing is, you know, and bonding with someone over that. So I would, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Rabbi Lazarus, you wanted to?
I think it's a terrible idea.
That what?
I think it's a terrible idea.
Okay.
Work it out this way, and he has to want you to, he has to
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Reverend Lazarus. Thank you. 100%. I think we're all saying the same thing, which is basically, you're not on your, not Yeshua, but the person, I'm here to help you. Everyone can lend a hand to someone else, not from I'm better than you, I accomplished it, I'm there, you're not there, let me show you the way, but sort of to be there. I think empathy and to be with someone in their journey, if they're open to it, of course, if they want it, if it's a friend of yours, if it's someone who you care about, not during, of course, not while. I don't think she was saying while they're angry. I think you're saying, why not? Yes, I think it's, and I agree with Rabbi Lazarus. Of course, you're not going over to a random person. I think it's always good. We're digressing a little bit. I think it's always good to bring people in and to share and to talk. I think that people struggle a lot when they keep things inside and they just keep it to themselves. I think it's very good for the person who went through it and the person who's, on the receiving end. I think everybody gains when you discuss things and you have the good intentions. I think it works. Shlomo, you had something?
Well, I was going to say that someone like Bob Musser or something, that should get someone Musser if they're not willing to hear it.
Correct. Kishem, just like it's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, it's a mitzvah not to say something that will not be heard. 100%. Yes. Yes, correct. Yes.
Also, like Kira said, if you give someone Musser, like, if you have any resentment, like, if it's, like, bothering you, something that they do that bothers you, like, and you give them Musser just to do yourself, sort of, like.
Right.
If you want to, like, it could be you want to help them also, but, like, if it's, instead it should be, like, I don't know how to do that, like, how to 100%, like, just, like, look at someone and be, like, yeah, like, I really want to help them, because, like, a lot of things trigger people, so, like, when you said, like, you should help them.
Right. I really believe, I want to say this, and I think it's important, I think it is important for, if you care about someone, you have a good relationship with someone, to be able to share things that you're working on and to be there for each other. I think a lot of times we hide in our own shell and we don't share. I think if you're being nice and you're being, even if you didn't work totally and work through everything, I think it's very good for people to be there for each other and to feel that I'm not alone in my struggles and that everyone struggles like I struggle. We all have very similar struggles. And of course, it's all who you are and how you approach it, but I think that it's very, I think a lot of times we're so afraid to open up and to share, and I think that we would gain a lot if we would do that more. Again, not to put anyone down, never to put anyone down, but to really say, like, if you have a roommate or you have a close friend who you see is struggling with something, the greatest thing would be to help them. Everyone talks about everyone, myself included, codependence. So I'm not allowed to say anything to anyone, but if we understand, codependence enough, then I can, there's nothing wrong with me reaching out to someone and saying something. No one's perfectly, finished taking care of himself, and now I'm ready to lend my hand. Sometimes when you, not only sometimes, most of the times when you reach out to someone and you share with someone, you end up gaining more than the person himself. You actually gain a lot when you reach out to someone. So you think you're quote-unquote helping someone. The person who you're helping is really yourself, and I think that that's great. Of course, just to tell someone, oh, I see you're there, that's stupidity. That's immaturity. What? Yeah. I'm just saying. I think that it's. I think it's very important. Simple. What was that line, by the way? I wanted to text. What was that line? I'm not like everyone, but I am. What was that line?
I'm not like anyone else, but I'm just like everybody else. I'm not like everybody.
Yeah, I get the line. No, because it keeps on coming up, and I think it's such an important. I think it's so true. again, I want to say this. This is very important. You know, I think you have to also know, you have to know who your friends, yeah.
You're just like everyone else, but you're not like anyone else.
Right. You're just like everyone else, which means we all struggle like everyone else. But what, could you send that to me? But you're not like anyone else. Meaning everyone struggles with anxiety. Everyone struggles with insecurity. Everyone struggles with anger, with sadness, whatever it might, anything. People struggle, which we're going to talk about that in a second. We're going to talk more specific if we can get there, Bezrat Hashem, that everybody struggles when you bring people into your struggle and other people bring you and you talk about it and you share it. And you don't keep it alone. And you don't. Now, again, it doesn't mean you go over to a random guy and you share with a random person. But someone who you trust, someone who you're close with, someone who you know, someone who could be older than you, someone who's close, that you feel close. When you share, I've said this many times, I've never heard someone share something with me where I'm like scratching my head and saying, I've never heard that before. Now, I've never maybe heard that from that exact experience of that person and his nuance and that. We all struggle with, right? What was that line? Who said that? That which is most personal is most universal. Right. That's from Carl Rogers. Carl Rogers. That which is most personal is most universal. So when you're struggling, and that's really where shame comes in. When you're struggling with something, 90% of the struggle, 90% of the struggle is not, and listen to this is very, very important. This, and please, let's talk this out. 90% of the struggle is not the struggle itself. It's the way you look at the struggle that you're having. 90% of the problem is not the problem. It's the way you look at the problem that you have. And when you learn, we learn. And again, I'm underlining that word because it's not like, I got it. We're getting it. We're trying to get it. That's why we're here. When we learn to share within ourselves, start with yourself, to give yourself, again, I'm referencing IFS because it's a great model, and I know many of you experienced IFS. It's called giving space for yourself to have, right? Which is a great, this is it, Nisano, perfect segue to the dedication of this year was, so I guess retroactively, is to Nisano Baruch Devor Hatzadik. Baruch Nisano, sorry, let me do that again. To Baruch, that's good, you know it. To Baruch Nisano Devor. This entire shir was retroactively dedicated. I said it to him before we were in touch, to Nisano Devor, so to Lenny. So thank you, Nisano. And here it is, and this is what we're talking about. Here it is. This is what happens. What happens? Nisano, you got to help me out over here. How I could do this over here? Basically, like this. What happens? This is a conversation that we had and have had, and I said we gotta bring this out to everybody over here. And correct me if I'm not saying this accurately. What happens when a person has feelings that he's not happy about? What do I do? The word I think we were talking about was, you know, like love the pickle that you're in. Love the fact that you're in that what? Stay in the pickle was the line that I told him. You're like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? What it means like this. When a person, a big tzaddik once told me this, when you have certain taivas, when you have certain things that you want, there's nothing wrong with that in itself. There's nothing wrong with having desires. Not only is there nothing wrong, it's actually good that you have desires. It means that you're healthy. It's what? It's what are you doing with those desires? And what happens is, when we get the desire, what we do is we want to shut down the desire. That's what we want to do. We want to shut it down. And when we shut it down, the battle now doesn't become the desire anymore. What it becomes is whether I should, and I'm using that word that is not a good word to use, that I should do this, I should do that. But to take a step back and to say, well, what do I want to do? What do I not want to do? How am I feeling now? How am I not feeling now? As opposed to shutting it down. To shut it down. And when you shut it down, what happens is that becomes the battle and that gets you crazy. As opposed to first accepting that this is, right? Many times a person might say, oh, I, someone could give an example, please, of something you might struggle with that's not, doesn't have to be so personal. Something that comes up that's very difficult. I don't know. Okay, right. So first of all, Avi, I just want to say something. I love this. Everybody has that. Everybody struggles with getting up in the morning. And people think that there's something wrong with them, and especially when it comes to shachris or whatever your father told you or whatever your yeshiva mashkiach told you or whatever you learned about or whatever is considered successful or unsuccessful, is that you get up, you don't get up, you get up early, you go to shachris, you don't, you do, right? The fact that you want to stay in bed is a very normal, natural thing that you want. I want to stay in bed. My pillow is comfortable. My blanket is comfortable. Accepting that I'm human. Accepting that it's hard for me. I didn't sleep so much last night. I have ready for this one because this is what Yehuda was saying. And we've said this a few times already. It's not hard to get out of bed. It's your head that's the problem. So what happens? I have anxiety. So if I have anxiety, and I have social anxiety. That's a good one. That's a very easy one. I like that one. Social anxiety, which is very, very, very connected sometimes to getting out of bed in the morning. Why? Because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I get nervous. I don't like to get nervous. So I like to stay safe under my covers in my little dark, dark room. And that keeps me safe. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Ready? There's nothing wrong with you. You might have an anxiety problem. You might be anxious. It might be hard for you to face certain things. It might be hard to come to the dining room because there are a lot of people there and I get nervous. It might be hard to come to the Beis Medrash, not because you don't want to learn Torah, because you might be anxious. So what happens? What happens is, I'm sorry, Yehuda, I'm going to use you because you said it so well. That part goes, get out of your head. Get out of bed. Let's go. What are you doing? You should. And then it's over. In a bad way. Then it's over. There's no empathy. I'm not saying, okay, so I'm nervous. So I'm scared. Let me understand that. Let me deal with that. The social anxiety going into a wedding, walking into a place, that's why we have, yours? It's not his. Right? That's why there's an open bar and people make a lot of money at simchas with open bars. There's a very simple reason. Of course, it's a beautiful thing. It's a simcha. You say l'chaim. Give me a break. Well, the reason there's an open bar is because there are a lot of anxious people. So what do? I go ahead and I take a cup, and I've seen this from grown men, so to speak. Right? I see this all the time. I go to weddings all the time where, okay, so take a little shot and say l'chaim. No, I got to fill it up like this, and I got to do a big l'chaim, one big l'chaim. Now I can enjoy myself. Now I'm not talking about drinking. We'll talk about that another day. But the social anxiety is something that's very, very, very common. Very, very common. But when I shouldn't feel that way, and that word is a terrible word, when I shouldn't feel that way, and I'm supposed to be able to walk into a wedding, walk into the dining room, walk into where I'm going to walk in, and feel like, you know, the man. And I'm supposed to be confident, and I'm supposed to be everything perfect. And I'm not, then that becomes the problem. I'm not dealing with the problem. It's like when it comes, I'll get to you in a second, Moshe, right? What happens is, it's like when we talk about drugs and alcohol and pornography and your phone. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. That is preventing you from dealing with your problem. I'll say that again. The drugs, the alcohol, let's talk about sleeping. Sleeping is not your problem. If you have a sleeping problem, that's not your problem. The being on your phone is not the problem. That's not the problem. Your smoking is not the problem. Your drinking is not the problem. Those are bad solutions to a different problem that you have. And you're never even dealing with the actual problem that you have because you're busy in those other things. So you'll never deal with that. You'll never deal with it because you run to that to solve your problem. And that the classic example is I'm walking into the wedding, I'm walking into the dining room, I'm walking into a public place, and I should not be anxious and I should feel awesome and secure. But I don't. There's something wrong with me. Why don't I? Let me figure out a way how to solve that problem. That's not going to solve that problem. That will not. So I mean, it actually works. If you take drinks and you do that, it does work. But it's not long term, and it doesn't really deal with the issue. Moshe.
It's great to like label everything.
Yes.
And you know you're addressing the problem, but where does like discipline come in place? You just address the problem, and nothing happens after that. Like, what do you do? Let's say you had the. You labeled a social anxiety. Doesn't want to get out of bed.
Great. Great.
It's okay.
Beautiful.
For the rest of his life.
Beautiful, beautiful. Great question, Moshe. Moshe, welcome. Moshe, floor. Welcome. I just want to say a quick story. Was it the first day when you came over? The second first day? So I get the honor to learn with Simcha and Menachem. We learn after Mincha, a very heavy sefer, very holy, holy, deep sefer. And Moshe walks over, and he's like, can I join? I'm here. I want to learn Torah. I want to learn. It was such an inspiration for me. So thank you, Moshe. Amazing. 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 So to address, I'm going to do another 90%, which we'll see. Maybe Shlomo, you could put it together. This is my nephew, Shlomo Deitch, everybody. Legend. 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 Shlomo's a great guy. Have a conversation with him. He's a great, great, great person. It's an honor to have you here. So maybe we'll put this together somehow. I didn't think about it yet. But what Moshe's saying is, he's like, so now what? Great. So first of all, well, let me just say it more simply. Once you get there, then you're basically, you're there. Meaning you're there. If I know what my problem is, then I'm 90%. It's the other 90%. That's what I'm saying to put it there. The other 90% is that now I'm good. Why? Because now I know what I got to do. The problem is we don't get, the guy goes like this. He says, my problem is I'm on my phone. That's the problem. You know what that's called? Denial. D-E-N-I-A-L. Doesn't even notice I am lying. That's called denial. The phone is not the problem. The problem is not the whatever it is. You have a certain anxiety when you come into a room with a lot of people. What's that about? I know that I want to conquer that. I know I want to deal with that. When you say my mother makes me anxious, when you say my father makes me anxious, when you say when every time I speak to that person, he makes me anxious. So then you sit down and you say, okay, now let me try and figure this out. But what happens is if I'm in the world of shouldn't, I shouldn't be anxious, I shouldn't feel this way, so then you're not even in the game. Not even in the game. So even though you're saying, so now what do I do? Halavai, a person, what's the goal? The goal is to make that list. I guarantee everybody here, you make a list and you accept, easier said than done, that this is my problem, and you speak to someone, you identify that this is my problem. Nobody's problem is that they smoke weed. That's nobody's problem. Not any person in the world ever had a problem, not that you didn't have a problem, you know what I'm saying? That was never the problem. It's always, there's hurt, there's pain. No one drinks just to drink. No one sleeps because they love sleeping. We all love sleeping. But nobody wants to sleep. We want to be productive. I want to be happy. I want to be successful. So what's wrong? So usually if you're struggling with something, and this is big, and I thank you, Moshe, for bringing this out, which is a lot of the times we're just stuck, as we've been saying, in our same thoughts, in our same repetition, where the hamster is dead, the wheel is spinning, and it's over and over the same thing. You know why? You know why? Because it could be you never got to that point. So it's not like, okay, now what do I do? That is all you need to do. All you need to say is the second you say, I struggle with social, I don't even know if I would say the word anxiety. That we'll talk about, because that's not the best way to deal with anxiety. But I am afraid. How about this? Every time I walk in a room, I get nervous because I don't know who to talk to first. I know that there's this guy. I want to make sure that I look good. I don't know what it is, teenagers. I want to make sure, you know, that people like me. I want to make sure that I say the right things. Sometimes I say stupid things that people, I don't know, but break that down to just even call it that I have social anxiety. I wouldn't call it even social anxiety, even though I'm saying it just to understand it. I would identify and say, put it down, write it down and say, what? It's hard for me to speak to, every time I go home, I get anxious. No. Tell me what the problem is. Every time I walk in the room, what happens? Talk it out, understand it. Once you identify that, you're on your way to get to where you need to get to.
Ready?
Yeah.
It's like overthinking. When you overthink too much, it's like a coke.
Correct.
I just say it's like when you put a Mento into a Coke bottle, but you keep it closed. So it keeps going and keeps going.
Correct. Exactly. The thinking is, yeah, it's hard. People who overthink and they OCD and they, so they're not, that's a protection a lot of times for dealing with feelings. Sometimes the overthinking is because I don't want to feel. It's too much for me to feel. And that could be your problem. It could be my problem is that I'm sad. I have feelings that I don't want to feel. So instead, I'm going to think. That could be something. Keeps going and then you never get out. You'll never get out. Yes, Chaim, we'll end off with Chaim.
What
yes.
I do, like, if I know my problems, I'm not ready to deal with them, so how do I, accept
them? So then, okay, great. So I just want to say that Chaim's saying, so let's say I know my problems, but I'm not ready to deal with my problems. So good. So I would say that there probably still is a part. I don't want to talk to you specifically, but the second a person would just accept that, easier said than done, then that wouldn't be a problem anymore.
So you can learn.
So you can learn, and there are people who you could speak to. I would say the key is not to keep it inside of yourself, and I would say share, because I guarantee you, someone has been there, done that, guaranteed. I hear. No, what I'm saying is that somebody could help you get to a place, because we're blind sometimes to know how to get there. The person might say, you got to chill out more. The person might say that. You might have a part. I'm not getting into your personal thing. The person might have a part that's like, okay, I got to do it. I've had this many times with people. You got to do it. You got to have that part that's telling you, I got to do it. I got to accept that. No, you don't. Don't accept it. Try that one. Accept that. Exactly. There's no end to that, Chaim. There's no end. You can always say, you don't have to accept it, so don't accept it. Well, I can't accept that. You don't have to accept that either. I can't accept that. Okay, that's fine also. It's not fine. That's also fine. Okay, good. Feeling, I'll end off with this. Feelings and feeling it is not the end game. The end game is to make sure that you're doing the necessary things to get there, and you will get there. You will get there. If I am doing the necessary, here, you guys know from working out. You don't stand in front of the mirror, maybe you do, probably not in the beginning, Now you might stand in front of the mirror. But when you start off, you don't work out when you're heavy or you're skinny or whatever motivates you or you want to look good. You don't work out after the first time and then go into the mirror and say, let's go. You don't do that. That was good. You like that? Thank you. That was like a Smith. Thank you. And I got that from Shuey, so I'm taking that as a compliment, Shuey. Right? But this is what we said. Shuey, perfect for Shuey. That's what we said. It's not about changing. It's not about looking. It's not about the dedication of this year. It's not like looking like Nisan al-Dvor. You're not going to look like Nisan al-Dvor. You're not going to look like that. You're not going to look like that. Exactly. But I know what I would like to see. That's why the before and after pictures are great. You know why? Because you didn't get to look like that by looking in the mirror. You look like that because every day you went to the gym and you did the work. Because you drank the protein stuff and you did all that stuff on a daily, not that one day that you just did it. So here we go. Not for now, Shlomo. That's why working in is very difficult. Why? Just like working out is difficult. The reason working out is difficult is because you don't see the results right away. Working in, it's even harder to see the results. You know why? Because you do get to a point where you could look in the mirror and you look good. But when it comes to inner growth, it's much harder, in my humble opinion. It's much harder to see that growth because 2 years later, 3 years later, you're already on to the next, right? I don't know if you guys know Aviel Hatzadik over here. You guys know Aviel? So now Aviel is a person who anyone who knows him is hungry to accomplish more and more and more. And it's probably, again, I'm not sharing any personal thing of his, but I know with myself, what happens is you get to a certain stage and you're not like, okay, I look great, I look awesome. You want more and more and more. When it comes to working in, it's much more. The Yetzirah is very strong to keep you from feeling good about your success. That's probably one of the biggest things the Yetzirah wants from you. Don't feel that you have done anything. And I can't say it enough. That the fact that everybody is here in yeshiva, the fact that you're in this shir, the fact that you want to grow is enough. The fact that you're here and we're all here trying to better ourselves, trying to make ourselves better, trying to tap in, whether that means Chaim chilling out more or whether that means pushing yourself more. The fact that you're here and the fact that you're just asking that question, just the fact that you're in the pickle, stay in the pickle. It's okay. It's challenging for me. It's okay. You will get there. I promise you. I'm saying this out loud. Chaim Rosenberg, I have no doubt in my mind, you will get to where you need to get to at the right time. Just keep on doing what you're doing, Chaim. I have no doubt. No doubt. Chaim Rosenberg, everybody. I have no doubt. No doubt. Hashem will help us all. Let's all be Zocha. Amazing, guys. We should all be Zocha. We should all be blessed to not speak Lashon Hara, not to talk about anybody. Talk about yourself. When you're with your roommate, talk about each other. Don't talk about other people. Don't talk about anybody. Don't talk about anybody but yourself, how you can grow, how he can grow. No point to talk about anybody else. Even be careful, as Aryeh was mentioning a little bit, you have to even be careful talking good things about other people because suddenly someone says, he's not that good. Come on, you're exaggerating. Let's focus. Let's get in there. Let's get in to ourselves. Let's continue on this incredible journey. Have an incredible first day of the rest of your life. Thank you, everyone.